Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, greetings and welcome on this November the 2nd. Wow. 2021. You know, I'll tell you something, people. If you didn't know it, now you know that time waits on no one. And we are in a situation where, beloved, time is catching up with us and leaving some of us. Talk Straight. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful again for all of you who will join us tonight via Blog Talk Radio and or Facebook live stream. I hope we're in good shape here. Looks like things are moving along there. So far, so good. So what I want to do is to let you know tonight, our format is open mic. And those of you that's been following us, you know that on open mic, that's what it says. I don't have a specific topic, and that provides the opportunity for you, the listening audience, to bring up a topic of discussion that's of interest to you. Now, we've been dealing with everything from religion, some low politics, social issues, but largely we've been talking about the plight of urban America. And then we've strived to offer some solution-based responses. But we open the floor to you to bring it up. I don't have all the answers. We'll be happy to opine, and where there's an opportunity or need to, we will go and try to find the right information, correct answers, okay? We do open the floor to your conversation. That's why we say it's open mic. So you can post your question or comments in the dialogue. For those who would tune in via Facebook and would like to put their questions or comments, you're welcome to do so, and we will share those accordingly. Engage you in the conversation that way. 657-383-0 653-383-0944. 653-383-0944. That's the number to call into the studio tonight, so that you can actively be a part of our discussion. And we'll be happy to engage you and consider your questions, your comments, your ideas, and make it be what it is. So we're grateful again for each and every one of you that have joined us, and perhaps some of our other callers will call in, and we'll be happy to entertain them accordingly. It's open mic, so again, I don't have a specific topic, but we will keep it rolling. 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. A lot of things going on around the country. And the one thing that you all, if you know anything about me, you notice that is of greatest concern, and that is the education of our children and their social and emotional well-being. As we look forward to another year, and beloved, this is November. That means it's about 60 more days, and we can call 2021 a wrap. Here comes 2022. What does that mean? Well, that simply means that we have an opportunity to look forward, to set in place some processes, some planning, some strategies that will establish our positioning into the next year, and perhaps into the next 10 years, 20 years. More importantly, wherever we slipped up, wherever we had a misstep, there's an opportunity to correct it before we go into a new year. And that would require some self-reflection, And if people are willing to be self-reflective, and I'm starting with myself, we place ourselves in the very best positions to have success, because you evaluate yourself and you don't accept mediocrity, right? You don't accept laissez-faire, but you hold yourself to account to do your very best and to put your best foot forward. When we do that, what we find is that even when we have a misstep, as I alluded to earlier, we're able to correct ourselves and do better. We're able to do much better. So I do want to encourage you to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. And what we'll do is we'll keep the phone lines open here until such time as you call. We have about another hour and technically 50 minutes, but we'll go accordingly. You understand? Tuesday nights are the only nights that yours truly will be facilitating the discussion. But I understand this coming Thursday night, Mr. Ben Shelton will be on again, and he's had some pretty good conversations. And I look forward to some more coming on this coming Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m. on Talk Straight. Still Talk Straight, still sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. The only difference is that the facilitator is younger, and some might argue perhaps a little bit better looking than I. That's okay. That's all right. I don't care. but nonetheless, that's our opportunity to young man that was on with us, that was a guest. Pastor Ricky Waller has been our co-host, and he's been with us for a long time. But he and I are in agreement that what we want to do is set young folk up for the best opportunities, put the best foot forward, and so forth. And was honored that he sat in for me in the past, and in conversations with him, he agreed to come on and to represent his generation. So I encourage you to tune in on Thursday night from 7. I think he starts at 7:30, and he goes for about an hour. So I'd like to encourage you to join him, follow him there. But you're listening to Talk Straight tonight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and this is Tuesday, November the 2nd, 2021. There are many places that people can be. In fact, there's two major elections, gubernatorial elections, taking place right now, one in Virginia and one in New Jersey. We are coming up on the 2020 election cycle. I'm sorry, I said 2020, didn't I? I meant to say 2022 electoral cycle for around the country, for House seats and some Senate seats, as well as local state Senate and representative seats. We've had in 2020 another census. So I read that all across the country, there's going to be a lot of gerrymandering taking place, districts being redrawn and so forth and so on. And that's an issue for many people, especially if you're particularly a partisan, certain party. But then beyond that, beloved, I would encourage you to stay focused on what's most important. If you are beholden to a political party, okay, no one's here to, I certainly don't want to tell anyone they can do that, right? Yeah, that's their right. And I'm sure they have reasons for that. But I just like you to also consider that there's a need for us to be unified on what's most important, and that's our families, that's our children, and that's sustaining our society, right? I know during the election cycles, people run and they come up with issues and platforms and things of that nature, and they have to find a reason to make themselves look like the better candidate than the other or others. I get that. But having run myself before, what's very important to me is that at the end of the day, you're able to get along with your neighbor. How about that? You're able to get along with your neighbor. Does that mean you have to see everything the same way? No. No, you don't. And you certainly won't. I mean, my brothers and sisters, I didn't see everything the same with my sibling. You understand? We lived in the same household. So that's not what I'm suggesting. Certainly not in suggesting that, as I am saying that as a nation, as a society, as a community, that we should always ask ourselves, despite our differences, what is important to us to come together on? See, and what is it that we can do to ensure that all of us, our brother's hurt, if he's down, if he's sad, what is it that we can do to ensure that collectively there is a support for them? See, and that's a very important thing. And I realize that folk take their corners, and they have a right to do so. They have a right to do so. But at the same time, I'd like to encourage and admonish you to do that. Having been a pastor for the last 27 years now, many people have questioned me when I ran for public office. Are you leaving the ministry? No, absolutely not. In fact, I would argue that there's a vital role for that perspective, that righteous perspective, even in halls of governance and public leadership and representation. See, and I realize that people have polluted the political process so much to it just seems like it's all everybody and their mama just dirty, and those that are traditional career politicians, it seems evident that many of them just can't be trusted. I get it. And, you know, I tried to make sure I separated myself from all of that by letting people know I'm running not as a politician, but to advocate for people, see. And I understand everybody got a right to do that, to run their campaign and do what they think they have to do, you know. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. But again, I just say that when it's all said and done, and after the election is over, even if you lost, one question I always ask myself is, Doctor, if you lose, then what? How true would you be to the issues that you raised as a candidate? Would you be able to support the other individual that's in office? Certainly they have to be willing to accept that support, right? So it works on both ends. But the point is that it goes back to being able to have good social interaction and dealing respect for one another, even after a race. So having said that, it seems as though many places are working hard to try to get back on track academically. As an educator, my greatest concern last year, certainly when schools were shut down, that certain population, particularly throughout urban America, was going to lose academic ground. And that's typically what happens when you have dead time. I know many tried to do the online thing, but let's face it, that was not as successful as those with the best intentions intended for it to be. Okay, and nonetheless, we still got to educate our babies. And there are still those who are somewhat apprehensive about really going back to normal processes and practices as were before COVID augmentation and shutdown. Well, I understand that too, because there's still some people concerned about health concerns. That's important. It brings us back again to that vital point that we have to ask ourselves. Adults have been taking risks for a long time. But we calculate our risk. And we calculate our efforts and our responses to potential threats and real threats, right? Because we know that as adults, we have to keep on moving. We have to keep living. Particularly when it comes to providing for our children, that is not an option. That's a must. That must happen. If we don't do it, who's going to do it for us? Some of the things we've talked about is leadership and who's responsible for seeing to it that our children get a quality education. Is it the government? Is it the school district? Is it the principal? Is it the teacher or the social worker? Or is it the parent? I think you know my position. God blessed every parent to be able to bring forth life in the world. And even if you don't know how to do it, it is your duty and responsibility to care for that life, to love it, to rear it, and bring it to fruition as a responsible, productive citizen of the world. Yes, yes, yes. Proverbs tells us, train up that child. And this is the thing that I like to, I'm not preaching here, but the text was right. To train up a child in the way, there's an article there, in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart. What does that mean? If I might just, for a second, allow me to expound on that. Beloved, when you're focused and deliberate as a parent and understanding your children, their strengths, their weaknesses, their will, their desires, and even their dislikes, you're in the best position to carve out the right path for their success in the future. Now, that tells me that that takes time to do that, right? And if I'm always working to make money, to make ends meet, where is the time to be sitting there watching my child or children all the time? It takes planning. Now, I know what somebody is saying. Doctor, everybody don't have the luxury that you have, having a husband and a wife. And yes, that's true. In fact, my late parents, rest their souls, they separated, right? And there were 12 of us. So many times there were times where it was a single parent headed household. My dad tried to be around as much as he can, but he and I have talked about this before his passing. There's nothing like you being under the roof with us and like you being the head of the household. Can't change it now. what I did was learn from his experiences, and we were able to break that cycle. See, and so my whole point here is that even though there's been instances and circumstances where parents have struggled, okay, let's make that the exception and not the norm. Let's determine for ourselves that we want better. Let's say that even though yesterday I failed and I had me a nice cool glass of milk. I fell. And my milk now is all over the ground, decorating the floor. I can understand the tendency to want to cry over that loss. Yes, I do. But at some point, you got to resolve within yourself, okay, unless I'm going to lap the milk up off the ground, that milk is gone. Let me figure out how I can go back to the source where I got the milk the first time, if there's some left anyway, or go get some more. Give me some more milk. And watch this. This time, I'm going to be darn careful. Be sure enough careful. What do you say, doctor? I'm going to be real careful that I don't make that mistake tripping and falling again. So I'm going to ask myself, how did I fall? What happened, doctor, that you failed, man? What was that all about? You know? And how can you avoid that in the future? Because we know what happens when you trip and fall. A lot of things happen. You get hurt. You drop stuff. You lose things. You understand? It don't make you a bad person to have a slip up, a trip up. No. Most of us have. Problem is when we don't learn from that, see. And when we resolve that that's okay and we're going to keep on doing the same thing. See what I mean? That's where the problem comes in. And what we can do, you, me, everybody else, you understand, is we can tell ourselves that we're going to set a course by which the good practices, the good actions, the good outcomes from mama and grandmama and great-grandmama in the past, we use those and we make that a guide for us. It's open mic. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor, 657-383-0944. And guess what, guys? We go to our first caller, that sweet lady. You ask me, how you know she's sweet? Man, I don't love nothing more than sweet, you understand? That sweet lady out of Peoria, Illinois, our good friend and our regular participant here on Talk Straight, a panel member. Mama D, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Man, I'm you know what, I'm still fathead, but I'm good looking. That makes a difference.
Yes, you are. You are.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, so how's everything going? What's going on?
It's going. You know, we've been working hard to try to keep our business going there and a couple of other things going. We're still in the background working on the school, Mama D. And so,
okay.
You know, and that's one of the reasons we had to pull back on the show. And so we got a young man that's sitting in for us on Thursday night. I'm told he's doing a pretty good job. So, but that's about it. That's about it. You know, we maintain it.
Okay, are you still on to 9 or just 8?
To 9.
Oh,
you know,
to 9.
We're trying to do 2 hours on Tuesday. There may be.
Okay, I know you said not Thursday, but sometime Thursday.
I understand he's going to be starting largely around 7:30 on Tuesday, and I realize that that kind of disrupted our flow. You know what I mean? Because we were doing Tuesday and Thursday from 7 to 9. He's kind of developed somewhat of a listening audience, though. You know, a young man. I teased earlier, 12, and I said he's younger than I am, and some might argue better looking, but that's all right. I can get over that.
Well, he had my vote that day because I tuned in to listen. I thought he did a very good job.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you. I'll be sure to let him know that. You know, I'm you know, us old folk, 12, we got to know when to hold up.
And
know
where to put them.
Right.
Sometimes you got to let the young folks step in. That's what you train them for.
Say that again, please. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to let them, you got to know when to hold them. That's what you train the young folks to do.
Right. And, you know, why is it that so many of our brothers and sisters are afraid that if we get out the way, we're going to lose something? When you just said it, that's what we're preparing them for. We want them to take over, don't we? No?
You would think. I mean, you get a little old, you get tired somewhat,
right,
a lot faster than a lot of younger people would.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spent many years showing them how to get the job done, at least you can give them a fair shake of the tree and the opportunity to do so.
Correct. Yeah, I've heard people say, they ain't going to do nothing but mess it up. Well, you know what? We made some mistakes, didn't we?
All the time.
So we messed a few things up, didn't we?
Still, I mean, sometimes.
Watching that. Don't you stepping on my blue suede shoes now. Watch it.
Sure. It's a learning process. So.
That life is. One of the things that we should prepare ourselves to be is lifelong learners. You never stop learning.
Always. You're never too old to learn.
No, ma'am. Well, it's over time. What's been on your mind? What's been on your heart? Shoot it at me.
Well, you know, we all have had trials and tribulations, so I'm still blessed, however. Each and every day is a good day, almost. And I say it like that because I'm still hanging in there, still surviving, and still trying to set goals for my daily schedule.
Right.
You know, some days you don't feel up to it, and some days you just got to move along through the storm.
That's sure the truth. You know, I went in my office the other day, 12, and I had to give myself about 5 minutes to collect myself.
I understand.
You know, you're in the business where you're running your mouth and you're dealing with people all day. I just had to close the door, give myself 5 minutes to collect myself. I don't really want me. You know what I mean?
I mean, actually, it takes longer than that sometimes.
I know. I didn't have that much
time. I know, being as busy as you are doing everything that you're trying to get accomplished, sometimes you just had to take a step back and breathe.
That sure is the truth. So. But, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, there's a balance there. My wife has told me you need to find some time to do, to give yourself some time and a breather. And that she right.
I think so, because if you don't, then you wind up with the short end of the stick because you're trying to help everybody and you're getting caught up in the crossfire sometimes.
Amen. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, that's so much true. That is so true. That a lot of preachers do that, though, 12. They're so busy saving the rest of the world that they forget to save their own. Ooh, that'll preach right there. I didn't come to preach, but I believe that might preach right there.
That's all right. Use it for Sunday.
So busy saving the world, you forget to save your own.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I know, because I'm not a preacher, and I do it a lot.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you know, all
back.
Go ahead, okay. What'd you say?
I said, and then put me to the back burner.
Right. Mm. And all a preacher is somebody that profane or profess the truth or good news. Mm. That's what you need to preach. So any of us can preach. Anybody can preach, you know what I mean?
I'm put like this, so I'm not ordained.
Oh, you be trying to sneak a preacher in, though. I didn't catch you. I saw you. I've been watching you, you know. Yeah, I know you. A little preacher in there, though. I saw.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Finish it. Say that again, please.
I said I have to walk by faith sometimes.
That's what the Bible says. The just must walk by faith and not by sight. You see, there you go. I told you, I'm watching you, 12. I'm watching. I've been kind of looking at Illinois a little bit because that's one of my markets, right, for insurance, for home and auto and life insurance. And that, you know, when I'm looking at it, I'm trying to see where the need is. And we did that first with the talk show. I mentioned to you that we were looking at Chicago and some other suburbs, and we're grateful that you joined us there from Illinois and from Peoria. And it's interesting how when we look at the practices around the country, some places are opening up and getting back to what they were used to, their normal flow. And others seem to be somewhat hesitant. You know what I mean? What do you think about that? Do you think – now, I do understand, and we should take care especially our seniors and young people and people that are immune compromised, make sure they're safe. But do you think it's too soon? Because this – look, 2021 is gone. Do you know it's November the 2nd?
I do, but I also think it's still too soon. I know – and some people done got spoiled staying at home working from home. They don't even want to go back in the building. But people they thought it was hard, but it's finna get harder. It's actually been easy because the government or whoever putting the money out there through the programs and things have made some of it almost plentiful. People forgot, even though they was getting some of that money, they still should have put maybe $400.
Yeah.
But it's always easy for other people to talk how you should do your business. I think they would landlords would have understood much more better if they seen you at least trying instead of just saying, forget it. They can't put me out. I ain't going to pay nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a lot of people suffering because they have nowhere for them their families to go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's so true. You know, you hear, and I've seen a couple of cases here locally in Nashville where people were literally sleeping in their cars, you know. And we're talking about people who work regular jobs and had a life and maintained.
Yeah.
But all of that changed that and turned it upside down for them, you know. And now they're displaced and literally sleeping in their cars and trying to make it day by day. But I pray that we get better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't encourage nobody to move too soon, but we can't stand still too long either now. You understand?
No, there's always room for hope.
Yeah.
And I think your belief going to have a lot to do with surviving.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a man of faith. And I can tell you there have been a few times where I wasn't sure. But I believe. The Bible says, blessed is he that believeth. I didn't come to preach. 12, stop picking with me, okay? But blessed is he that believeth before he see it. You understand what I'm saying? Faith is the substance. That stuff you done been through that lets you know, man, but I've had worse times than this. But I trust God. I trust God.
That's what I was telling some of my friends and relatives. A lot of folks kept talking, I didn't get not a one, but guess what? I haven't went without anything. I haven't wanted like that for anything. And so that is good to me, and I'm grateful for that. So,
sure.
And that's what I tell them, because that's the truth.
Right.
I said, so if they send me one, I won't have no problem with spending it at all. But my point is, some might have thought I had one because I was doing just as much as they was doing as far as spending money goes and putting it back in the economy.
Right, but I wasn't.
You know, it didn't come from there. Not does anybody business, but it didn't.
Sure.
It is what it is. God take care of you. As long as you hold on, he may not come when you want him. But you're always right on time.
You're right there on time. I had a preach right there. I told you. Well,
my mom say that all the time, yeah. Just be patient. You just hold on.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're not thinking about it, there's what you thought you didn't have on the way was right there for you.
Well, there's a phrase that says, if you snooze, you lose, right? So don't sleep there. You got to keep moving. But at the same time, you got to know when not to move too fast. Don't make your move too soon. That's what is that? B.B. King said that. Don't make your move too soon. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I was looking at some of the information there, saw some positive things. There seemed to be some good. One particular one was these fathers in, I want to say it was Louisiana, some part of Louisiana. So these little black boys got into fights, well, at this school, this particular school, and a number of them got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one dad, then two dads, and three dads, and four dads, and five dads came to the school, and they said, you know what, we ain't having this. We about to walk these hallways. And the principal worked with them. The principal worked with them. They've been walking the hall, and do you know they're up to, I want to say it wrong, I think it was about 45 dads now that they rotate every day in this school, and they had no fights and no problems or nothing.
You know, that sounds like a good thing.
Yes, ma'am.
If you can do that all over, it would help a lot of situations, I believe. Bullying and all that mess.
You hear what I'm trying to tell you? You hear what I'm trying to tell you? And I know that principal has got to appreciate them dads for coming in there, man. And doing that. And, you know?
They stood up, and they was protected.
Right.
They're children, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
They said, we refuse to let these boys get kicked out of school, miss out on their education when there's something we can do. Now, not everybody does every day, but like I understand, they have a rotating system. And last, if I remember correctly, I think it was like 45 or so dads that had volunteered. These are volunteers. They're not being paid. They're volunteers that are coming in. And if there's any kind of way in every city, right here in Nashville and Peoria and Chicago and Miami, you know, in St. Louis, Indiana, you understand, all over Birmingham, if anywhere that you can do that, man, I believe that that's a good model. That's a great model. Mississippi, that's a great model, you know, wherever you are. Because basically at the end of the day, that'll deal with the discipline issue, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'll fix that discipline.
The teachers can't do it all by themselves, neither can the principal, and that's just a true story. Because many kids, they still packing, even though they're supposed to have buzzers and security set up and everything.
That's right.
How do
that's
they sneak in these schools? And usually it's a lot of privileged kids that may have been bullied. I don't mean at school, at home, and get picked on, not realizing the damage that they're creating to the people that they're hurting.
Correct, correct.
Some of them kill themselves, some of them go off and shoot up teachers and other people, kids, they ain't got nothing to do with it.
That is so true. That is so true. You know, I've always said, 12, that I was against putting metal detectors in the front doors of schools, bars all on doors and windows and what have you. Now, I understand that when you're trying to keep people safe, you got to take some measures. I just wonder, though, if we collectively have done enough collectively to be the bars, you know what I mean, to be the metal detectors. And that's why I really love what these dads have done. And I would love to sit down with them to understand how did they, you know, what is your strategy there? What was the composition so that we can replicate that? Give them
somebody
the credit.
Somebody had a meeting. Somebody had to have it. Let's get down and discuss how we're going to do this. Somebody had to. And somebody had to initiate it. It could have just started with one dad and it got back to another friend's dad and so on and so forth. And however it happened, I think it was a very good idea.
Yeah. And as I understand, this is a school that was heavily populated with African Americans. See? And one of the things I'm concerned about, and I'm putting myself in there, is that as a whole, we need some more fathers to step up. You know what I mean? And to be the answer, to be the solution. Women have stepped up a great deal over the years, over the decades. Now, I understand that there are a lot of men who want to do things, but the system seems to be a barrier to their best ideas, you know. Fortunately, in this case, the principal worked with these dads. You know what I mean? There have been cases where such an action would have received a cold shoulder, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it may have discouraged them moving forward. But yeah,
well,
go ahead.
I think maybe one of the reasons why people wasn't receptive towards it was because it's not just all boys' school. It's got girls in it, too.
Oh, sure, sure.
And some little girls may dress provocative when they go to school.
True, true.
And a lot of dads and moms as well didn't want all these grown men around their kids.
That makes sense. That makes sense. But, you know, they're only in the hallways, and they're monitoring class movement, from what I understand.
Okay.
You see what I mean? It's not like they're in a classroom with them necessarily. They monitor the lunchroom and class movement. And that's the biggest movement period in high schools, basically, is when
mm-hmm.
they move from one class to another. And that's what they're doing. And they're just their presence. And here's the thing. When those children go home, where are they most likely to see those men anyway?
They're home.
Oh, and on the street. In their neighborhood, right?
Some of them, yeah.
No, that's where these brothers come from the local neighborhood.
Oh, they were from the local, but some of them had to be at work on different days, and this is why
they
rotated times.
Right. But they all lived in the same community where the high school
was. Yeah, but they still had to talk to each other.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
Well, if they lived in the same hood, they see each other maybe often.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And each other kids. Even though they may not deal with each other, kids, they may know who they are. Most people do in their neighborhood know who's who and what's what. Because if you stay there long enough, well, that's so-and-so, so you always got a nosy neighbor going to try to tell everybody business anyway. So they're going to pretty much let you know who's who and who just got there. I just found out there's a sex offender across the street from me, and I'm in a good neighborhood. You know,
is
it?
Wow.
People can live wherever their money can pay for.
Well, now, not sex offenders, legally now. They can't live around small children if they're sex offenders.
It's small kids on this block, but they also got his name, not posted up on polls and stuff, but they had a newsletter with his name in because it's public knowledge.
Yeah. Is he on
monthly newsletters up here? But they couldn't put on there, this is a sex offender, but what they could do was put his name up there, because if you check that sex
register.
Offender list, you have a right to know these things, is what
they mean. Oh, absolutely. You know, and I believe in second chances, but what we don't want is to set innocent people up to be the victim of a second chance when you victimize anybody. So
exactly, and there's been more kids to move in the area, a few more kids anyhow. So
okay,
and that's why it's good for one to talk to the other. I don't deal with or socialize with a whole lot of people, but I deal with one of the main persons that works for the city up here in West Peoria. So
okay.
They get all the 411. They know my grandkids be here. Sometimes they run around up in the front. Not often, because I allow them to stay where I can see them.
Right.
But you know how kids wonder when they get a little older. They're getting older now.
Yeah.
If I could ride my bike down to the corner, you didn't know them. Just over you told them, don't go past the corner. They may be around 5 or 6 blocks down the street somewhere.
They'll do it, won't they? I'm guilty. I did it. My mama broke a lot of, you remember those hard wooden brooms, 12?
Yeah, I ain't never get wood, but I got wood with the mini switches, 2 or 3 of them.
It was 7.
They
worked
their
throat. It was 7
boys. Them up. They leave a whip, but they wouldn't leave no scars on your behind.
Wow. It was 7 boys and 5 girls, and she broke a lot of rooms, a whole lot of them. Yes, ma'am. Yes. But so, yeah.
Give you that mean look.
Hey. She has some little fat fists, too, you know. I'm like, what you bottle your fist up for, girl? What's wrong with you? What you bottle your fist up? What are you trying to hit?
What go get it. And the older ones, catch her. And they had to catch me because I was a runner.
Okay.
I was a little bitty something, too, and I had on a beard in a minute. Don't be whooping me, which I did get it a few times. I tried not to get whooping, so I ain't going to say I didn't get my share.
That's true, too. Yeah. I'm like you. I had my moments where I was a little no manners, tried not to do that in mom's presence. You know what I mean? Respect. I tried to. We would go to school, and I told this story before how I got in trouble, and the principal said, "I ain't calling your mama no more. I'm gonna take care of you." I appreciate that too, in a black man.
You back then. I ain't like that at all.
Man,
they be frustrated, take their anxiety out on your side.
Hey. He put them hands on me, though. You understand? He grabbed me 12, and before I knew it, my feet left the floor. What is going on around here? I'm airborne. You understand what I'm saying? He gave me a few choice words, too. You know what I mean? Some church words. Gave me a few church words. Okay, you for real, ain't you?
Yeah, man.
Hey, look, you want to fight? Mr. Thornhill was the gym teacher. That dude kept two pair of Ever-Ready boxing gloves.
Really?
Yeah. Shoot. He snatched you off the playground, and both of y'all go, come on, let's go. Let's go. Going in the gym. And the one that got whooped in the boxing match got two whoopings. Because he had a paddle, boy. I'm like, oh, man, golly, this dude right here. But we don't have that anymore, do we?
No. Usually they got three whoopings. Because you beat them, whooped them if you won the boxing match.
Right.
Frizzle going to spank you with the paddle, however many squash you got. Then your mama show going
to beat you. That's right. Boy, what happened to the whoopers, man? What happened to them good old-fashioned whoopers?
I'm going to tell you what happened to stability within a lot of children. They took some of that, what they call corporal punishment. I call steering the rod and spoiling the child because they needed that.
Yeah.
These kids the right to act like they was being so better, the ones that was, nothing happened to their parents.
Yeah. Do you remember Dr. E. Kelly Sanford from Tennessee State University? He's a sociology professor. He was on before a couple of times over the years. And he made the point that about corporate punishment, that that he was not all for it. I think he understood in circumstances the need for it, but he really preferred that you use less physical means of reinforcing expectations. And I said to him, well, Doc, that works, man. But, you know, there are times where you just have to grab some people and get them to understand the correlation between pain and compliance. And that's really what corporate punishment does. You know what I mean? It's that last step of negative reinforcement. We can tell you all that. And you act like you don't hear us, but when we put that ouch on you, you know what we're talking about then.
Yeah, but my mama talked to you the whole time she was whooping your behind.
Don't
ask you, you know why you getting a whooping in first.
Okay.
Now play like you ain't understand if you want to.
Play stupid if you want to, huh? Play dumb if you want to. Don't play dumb. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's That's the thing. Listen, guys, it's open mic. We're on with Mama D out of Peoria, Illinois. It's just she and I right now. Give us a call. 657-383-0944. If you're listening on live stream, we'll be happy to entertain your questions, your comments. All I don't know, I thought I'll postmark it to Mama D and she'll take care of it for me. You know what I mean?
Well, she won't. It's going to voice her.
What you said? Oh, no, but No, we.
I ain't
going
to be able to do it. I just said I'm going to let the professional do it.
Well, we'll be happy to entertain your questions and comments. 657-383-0944. If you're listening on the Blog Talk Radio platform, likewise, feel free to give us a call here. And just like with Mama D, your conversation will be our conversation. It's open mic. It's open mic. So whatever you want to discuss, we'll be happy to respectfully discuss it. Now, we don't want to be, you know, Mama D don't have to go. We're not here to be disrespectful or argumentative.
No.
We may have disagreements, but that's not what we're here for. We strive to keep a decorum on Talk Street where we can at least be agreeable to disagree. You know what I mean? At times.
Yes, sir.
And we've had some heated discussions. That make it good. We've had some heated discussions, have we not, Mama D?
I'm very good.
I ain't talking about nobody now. I'm just saying.
I know.
We ain't calling on me.
Got sense of no. It is okay for somebody to disagree with you because you're not always right in their mind, and in your mind, they ain't right by far.
Sure. And I'm always looking for the dissenting opinion because I think you can learn something from it. You know what I mean? At least it will check you to make sure you're correct in what you're saying and when you have somebody else to bring a different viewpoint. So that's always good. That's always good. I mean, in fact, when you're writing a persuasive paper, it's a good idea. An informative or persuasive paper, it's a good idea to have both sides of an argument, you know what I mean, or points of view. You put your own conclusion in there, you understand what I'm saying, but you explain how you arrived at it. So that's a good deal. That's a good lick. That's a good lick.
That's how that Jerry Springer started off before he turned to a whatever person he was with all
He started
off by everybody fighting, they cussing, they do debating and all kinds of crap. And then he had a moral at the end of his show.
Mm-hmm.
And the moral is, really? To me, it was immoral to me. He had most of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And he worked his way straight up. Now he's a judge.
Oh, is
so
that right?
Say, I don't even look at that crap, but...
Who is that? Jerry Springer.
Yeah, but it started a long time ago because he even called me. I'm like, what the heck is this? These people are doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's
And it built up his audience real big.
It did.
Yeah, it did because there was so much drama that people just, they was liking it. Some of them couldn't even believe that it was on TV.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how people gravitate to drama like that?
It is. Even though you may not be all with a lot of the things they do, but it arouses your curiosity sometimes to the point where I'm got to finish watching, see what happens.
Yeah. People run to a fight, don't they? They ain't trying to break it up. They just want to see it.
They want to see it. And I was told you better stay back because you don't know where to fight any and all is fair and you don't know what's going to happen. You'll be the very one to get hurt trying to be nosy.
Ain't that the truth?
But, did you see the police and sword? No, honey, I don't be just sitting around my house looking at no one. I'll keep my eyeballs peeled for certain stuff to look out of sorts that looks different to me, you know. But I ain't just running around back and forth to no doors and windows. I got plenty more to do than that.
That's the truth. I ain't looking for them. No, I ain't see them. I ain't looking for them. I was just thinking about that. Some of the challenges here, it looks like for the holidays, a lot of gifts and what have you and Black Friday sales are going to be thwarted by the shortage of, you know, and the inability for them to move things from the ports into the mainland.
Yeah.
So do you think that's how should people accept that if they're not able to buy toys and items for their loved ones for Christmas and things of that nature, you think they should let that be depressing for them, or how should they?
I don't, because before I heard about it, I spent so much money that I could have had in my pocket or bank account last Christmas to try to do so. I had a little extra change, so I wanted to do something extra special for the grandkids and things. And so I went way above and beyond, and then turns out I got two brand new bikes in the basement.
What?
Different stuff, a bunch of little tabletop games for kids and stuff.
Right.
You spend all this money trying to do good, and it's at the point half of the time you don't get to see them like you used to because they don't live in the house with you.
Right.
I told the ones that I get to see often, Grandma not buying toys this year for Christmas.
Huh.
Grandma's not buying toys for anybody that she know about. If I do, it'd be my little great-great nephew or something, their niece. Outside of that, I'm not buying any toys. I'm not buying any little clothes. That's for their parents to do. I think, Lord bless us, live and see it. Diane will cook us a dinner like she always do.
What?
As long as I'm able to, and we'll enjoy each other like that.
Okay.
And it'll
seem
different here probably for my babies because they're used to me having the tree loaded down with their little stuff. But I put the tree up, I decorate the house like I normally do. And I know I'm speaking a little head of the game because my heart ain't like that. I'll be looking crazy, feeling bad.
Well, no, but that makes sense, though. You know that? Maybe that's one of the lessons that we've all learned from the circumstances of COVID, that there are some things that we, you know, everybody got a right to pursue happiness as they see fit, okay?
Yeah.
But realistically, there are some things we can live without that we kill ourselves to have.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And we model for children that you got to have things that you really can't afford oftentimes or that you don't necessarily need, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of times grandparents try to give things that they either didn't have like that in the way the kids get it now. I think kids get lavished expensively where it don't take all that. You're going to pay $100 for them. A little drum set, they'll be under your cabinet with and clanking on a pot, playing them as drums, and got a whole $200 or $300 drum set somewhere sitting down.
There's something about them pots and pans that's a little bit more funner than.
Yeah, but kids, they appreciate the simpler, used to appreciate the more simpler things in life.
That's true too. That's true.
But our parents and grandparents tried to give us some of the things that they either didn't have the money for or they couldn't afford with the same thing.
Right.
It was hard back then. It's hard on a lot of people now.
Right.
It's going to get harder. All the lavishing, people think they've been spending all these money on kids, shoes, little bitty baby shoes. They pay $100, and the baby will grow out of them in 2 or 3 months.
Oh, man.
Not going to be able to do all that now. So if you don't teach your child to be vain, you won't have that vain child to figure they got to have all those things. It's okay to give your kids what you want them to have, but not if you can't afford all that stuff like that.
Right. That's the key point. That's the key point right there, that it's about the lesson, right? Learn to balance things out. You know, because at the end of the day, you can kill yourself for things, but when you're gone, how are you going to appreciate them?
and what they going to do then?
Right.
If you don't teach them, man don't work, don't eat.
Watch it. That'll preach right now.
You got to learn how to plant a seed to watch it grow in order to appreciate your food. I planted one little bitty tomato plant. I'm not lying. God bless this plant so much. This was a whole bush.
All
the back of the porch. It turned into a conversation piece.
Is that right?
I took four big bags and sent them down to the neighborhood grocery store. And the guy, he's like a brother. He's a good friend of mine, Albert. And I've been knowing him a very long time. And I guess maybe people were thinking I was going to sell them to him. For what? He can give them away. Why would I let all these perfectly beautiful tomatoes from this bush that we've been blessed with? Everybody came over here that eat fried green tomatoes, got tomatoes. They didn't have to. You can't just buy them in the store because they don't sell them in the store like that.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
well, so to the hood, shit. If he can do what he want to do with them. I gave them to him. I washed them all good. I picked them all. I bagged them up, and he had somebody come and get them.
What I'm hearing is your greatest reward was internal in terms of being able to share that with someone. You know what I mean?
I was proud of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, and then it wasn't just me sending them. Everybody that came that used to it, fried green tomatoes, got to enjoy it with me. There was no, God made it so plentiful. And they couldn't believe it started off as one little bitty plant.
Wow.
True.
Wow. Now, I'm just curious, did you grow it in your backyard or where did you put it?
In the backyard. I did one little bitty spot up by the back of the back porch. Excuse me, by the deck.
Uh-huh.
I wind up tying this thing up like five times.
Interesting. Okay. We had one little tomato plant, 12. And I'm ashamed to tell you where it is. But
oh, you did have one?
Yeah, one little tomato plant.
In your house?
Yeah, on the back porch. I'm ashamed to tell you where it is. Don't ask me where it is.
My neighbor said that. She said, and she got Miss Bonnie got a beautiful flower bed, one of the prettiest ones I've ever seen. And she said the other neighbor gave her a tomato plant. And she said hers died, and she kept laughing about mine. She was like, I can't believe that. I've never seen anything like this. We was like, me neither, because the last one last year, it was nice, but I've never had one this old.
Okay.
It was a beautiful thing. It just goes to show how you can plant something that starts off real little and watch it just flourish, and it did, and it brought joy to a lot of people, even if it was just for that moment.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, simple things in life. A lot of times people are looking for things to come in glitter and big packages, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make it grand and what have you. And you'd be surprised how the simple things can
give you so much joy.
Oh man! It could bring calm to a troubled mind. Yes, ma'am. Lift up a bow down head. I wish that white teary eyes.
Ain't that something?
Watch it, twelve.
Ain't that something?
Bring a smile to a frowning face.
That's a beautiful thing, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it don't take a whole lot for me. I mean,
no.
Hey, it is what it is. The simple things, a little card, a little, I thank you so much.
Right.
Means a lot to me.
Oh, well, I've learned that, you know, as a pastor, we've had the occasion to sit with people in moments of grief and what have you. And I've learned that it's not always what you say as it is just being there. You understand? And being available and being ready to be supportive. So that's more valuable than coming with a prescripted word, or, you know what I mean? Just present sometimes. We're joined by a friend out of St. Louis. It is open mic tonight on this November 2nd. And we have PR Illinois on Mama D with us, and we've just been talking about some basic things in life. But it's open mic, so let's welcome St. Louis into the conversation here.
I'll tell you this, you're trying to date me, you got to fill out an application.
What? St. Louis, say what now? Explain
and have a resume.
Explain it to us like we're 3 years old.
Got to have a background, a resume, somebody to talk up for you.
Okay.
But how you doing today, Ruben?
Pretty good, pretty good. I was just telling 8112 that we've been kind of pushing a little bit and trying to, in the background, we're doing a little bit to do what we can to keep the school going and you know, keep it ready when we're ready to really launch and work in our business and what have you. But other than that, we still fat-headed and good-looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I've heard you say that before.
You don't believe in St. Louis? You don't believe in... Oh, okay, never mind.
How you doing, Peoria?
Peoria doing just fine, thank you, sir. How's St. Louis doing?
I'm doing fine, too.
That's beautiful.
Good. What's new in St. Louis, my
friend? I'm not in St. Louis. I'm down south. I'm not going up there. I may go up there a little bit, but no, it's still the same from what I hear.
Okay. Same challenges, huh?
Yeah. Young people seemingly, you know, is doing pretty well. I talked to a relative of the family, his son, who I've been knowing for a long time. He's doing well. He moved out further west away from Ferguson.
Okay, good.
Which I told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a couple of businesses, and plus he's working in commercial construction.
Great.
Two daughters, they're doing fine.
Okay. It's always good to hear positive stories.
Had a nephew who's the number one college recruit.
Oh, really? Really?
For wide end.
Okay. I saw some of that. I didn't really see a lot of it, but just a little bit of the, what was that, this past weekend. Was that Florida playing? Did Florida?
No, he's coming out of high school. He's going to Mizzou.
Oh, I see.
He chose that over Alabama and Georgia State.
What? Okay.
Yeah, they told me, as he said, he figured he'd get more, be on the field right away his first year rather than having to sit on the bench.
Yeah. Well, as a freshman,
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I used to take his daddy camping. His daddy, his brother, his uncle.
He
used to take four of them camping all the time.
Wow. Well, it's good to hear that those positive examples have led him to a good place to springboard him into success there.
His dad is in his late 60s, so time go by fast.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, St. Louis.
Well, he can't be. He'd have to be like in his late 50s, not 60. Okay. Well, that'd make me about 90.
Well, we don't want you to be that old now. One of the things 12 and I were just speaking of was the idea that as we look at the condition and challenges we're facing across the country relative to the shipping and things of that nature and the ports being closed and people what they're used to in terms of buying gifts and shopping and what have you, it looks like it's going to be drastically affected and delays and what have you. How would you recommend to someone to manage that when it comes to explaining to the children, and, you know.
What you see is all political. This administration here is one of the worst I've seen getting off, and it's not going to succeed. I see things are starting to catch up with it now. These and vaccine mandates is another deplorable thing.
Okay.
And that don't got completely out of control. But people need – see what happened, Reuben, is people got lax in this country, whites, blacks, and everybody else.
What do you mean?
And
when you say they got lax.
They took things for granted.
Oh.
See, let me tell you something. When you number one, you never have time to take a breather. You got to keep pushing forward because there's always somebody trying a plan and scheming to knock you out the box.
Say what?
You look at the things that's going on with these young kids. I was reading what down in Florida, some school board member took elementary school's students to a daggone gay sports bar. Apparently he's done it before. Now, that is just deplorable. Why would he do something like that? Why? You have a governor contender over there in Virginia saying that parents have no right to tell school districts about educating their kids.
Yeah.
And then you got people that's going to come out and vote for that.
Well, I mean, but then you have people that come out and vote against it. You know what I mean? There's the balance.
It shouldn't even be a challenge against a form. That is, why would somebody even vote for somebody that's talking like that? It don't make sense.
Okay, this is America, St. Louis. Here's the thing, though. We've been talking about this a lot. The one thing we can do as parents is we can organize ourselves and we can actively engage in the process of policy making. And let's face it, in most places, people don't do that, right?
So they don't.
They get what they get. Yep. But more, and I think that's one of the things that's happening is that more people, a lot of people didn't like the fact that their children lost instructional time and academic gain over the last year. And so I'm hearing and seeing, guys, more parents come out for pushing for the idea of either homeschooling or alternative education to traditional public education.
Yes, absolutely right. They should be pushing for choice. Choice.
Well, yeah.
Choice with vouchers.
But many of them don't know how or what direction they're going to in terms of choice. And I'm not really hearing that they're anti-public schools as it is that they're really looking for some reforms in the public school sector, but you heard me say this too, that national education has been politicized so much that it's hard to really, the teachers that are working hard, man, and the best things that are going on in many public, hard to really capitalize on those gains because of politics too often. So,
you're not going to get no reform in public schools because when you have a attorney general that want to have the FBI show up at board meetings where parents are there raising hell to make their board accountable, that there is a problem. Something's wrong with that man.
Sure.
And he was nominated for the Supreme Court by Obama.
Well,
give them enough rope, they'll tell off on themselves.
Well, again, those are the issues that really the thorns in the side, right? And at the end of the day, what we can do, the things that we as individuals, as parents and members of our neighborhoods, our communities can do is be knowledgeable first and then act on those things because our children are our children. And at the end of the day, nobody loves them like we do. Ain't nobody going to love them. You've said that before. And nobody's going to love your child like
Absolutely. And once again, people are being bamboozled. The federal government has no jurisdiction over how you, parent, run your school district and how you keep your board accountable. Those are your children. There's statutes that tell parents that, make that known. But once again, people just don't take the time to find out the powers that they already had. I was listening to another guy complaining about the churches. complaining about the church, don't do this, don't do that.
Right,
and I called and I said, well, why are you complaining?
Mm-hmm.
They are a tax-exempt status, and that tax exemption expires. And when time comes to have it renewed, they, the IRS, allow comments and rebuttals from the public. That's when you challenge the issues of a renewed tax-exempt status. You go by the church to the secretary and ask for a copy. They got to give you a copy. Then
okay.
You file the paperwork, you and a group or whoever, and you challenge them, then receive another extension on their tax-exempt status. They're not doing what they're supposed to do, or what they spell out they're going to do.
I think
that's the way you do that. You don't just sit back and complain and whine.
Was there something specific that he thought churches should be doing that they were not?
Well, you know, a lot of people make issue about your vice president in Virginia is piping streams into these churches
trying to get them
to come out and vote. That is totally wrong.
No, it's illegal, too, and because they're not supposed to. To your point, those nonprofits, unless you're 504 now, those are the only ones, as I understand, that are permissible to engage in political activities. But yeah, that's true. The 503, 2, and 1 are not supposed to be engaged in those types of things, by code anyway. But, you know, it happens. It happens. It happens.
And your preacher shouldn't be telling you who to vote for anyway.
Okay.
Why is it with black folks, and I guess with others, but blacks, somebody's always trying to tell them how to behave.
That's a good question. Now, permit me to answer that, or to respond at least anyway. Historically, you know this historically, and 12 jumping here, the black church has been a deport, if you will, for all things social, for political issues historically, right? And so they relied on the preacher. I sometimes wonder about it in this present day, though. You know, the church is losing its relevance in my, and I've been pastoring for 27 years. We're losing our relevance by and large, you know. But we've been a deport for particularly the African-American community. That's where you go for answers. We're not doing as good a job as we used to, though, I'm concerned. And I say that respectfully. I think we can do more. We can do better in that regard.
Well, I listen to some of these preachers give answers to questions, and let me know they don't know what the heck they talking about.
Say what? What do you mean, St. Louis? Wait a minute now. You know I love to preach.
So
people
need to seek their information from more reliable sources through their own investigation, however that may be, and stop being told how to do something. When you go to the poll, you walk up there to go into the door, you got canvassers who, if they got something to give you, they'll snatch what you got in your hand out and replace it with their stuff. That goes on in the hood.
Well, I had a call, St. Louis. A gentleman, he had went to the doctor. He didn't like the report the doctor gave him, right? So he called me and asked me what I thought about it. I said, well, you know, I'm not fair to ask me that because I'm not a medical doctor, you know. The best I can do is say if you want to, you can go and get a second opinion. But it would be irresponsible for me to try to speak on something. I think that's what you're talking about is, you know, yes, you're the pastor and people come to you and they call on you. But there's some things you should leave to others, I'm convinced, so you don't mess folk up. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want to, you know, complicate people's lives by ill-informing them or misguiding them either, just because you're a preacher. That has happened.
Well, when you vote a certain way, like in St. Louis for 72 years, everything becomes desolate. People move.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning you look up, here comes the preacher.
Uh-oh.
He's coming out to where you are now to start it all over again.
Let me bring 12 in. 12, when I was teaching in high school, we used Ernest Gaines' book, a lesson before dying. And really in the book, there was a battle between the preacher and the teacher.
Mm.
And this man's nanan, his mama, wanted him to learn that, you know, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they charged him with murder. He didn't do it. And his the defense tried to say, oh, he's just like an old hog. We shouldn't hang him again because he's nothing more than a hog. Well, the mama wanted him to know, they're going to kill you, baby, but I want you to know you're a man when you die. So she tried to get the preacher to teach him that, and it wasn't working. So she called the teacher, who was a young black male himself, who was able to get out of Angola, Louisiana, and go get an education and what have you, and come back and teach. So his challenge was fighting with the preacher, because all the preacher could do is promise him pie in the sky. You know, the Lord is going to fix it. But that wouldn't teach him about his manhood. It was an interesting book, though. And I find that to be the case now, 12 in St. Louis, where a lot of people are looking to the church, particularly the African-American church, to answer certain things. And I won't say everybody, but many pastors are challenged to give them a fulfilling or factual answer to a lot of things. I won't say everybody, but many of them are. And that's where a lot of people are becoming more savvy, saying, wait a minute now, I can do bad by myself. I don't need to go to church to get tripped up, messed up. What do you think about that, Twel?
Excuse me. I think a lot of churches have become more commercialized.
Yeah, too much.
They have big old congregations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hundreds of people in the same building.
Thousands.
Well, okay, maybe even that too.
Yeah.
And you would know more about it than I, but I'm just saying. And they flying in on helicopters.
What?
And there's some of the people in their congregations really suffering. But because that particular pastor, whoever he or she may be, are so busy, there's so many people that you can talk to that you probably don't even get the chance to get to hear the ones that actually need it.
Mm.
Everybody needs it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot of things more about money and commercialism, and you do need it to keep the buildings open and the utilities paid. And the pastor himself has to be taken care of at some point because that's his job, like everybody else go to work and everything. So, I mean, that's his job.
Well,
but some people, when they get like that, some of them make the outside people weary and weary.
Okay.
I'd rather attend a small church than a big one any day.
I see. I guess it's more personable, right, and more direct interaction with
you can get to know Sister So-and-so. Well, this Sister So-and-so, she got two or three children and a husband left. I mean, you can get to know them on a personal level.
I see.
Opposed to you trying to... there's no way you're going to know 5,000 or thousands of people and all their family members. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, yeah. That's one of the challenges with the megachurch structure is it does. But many of them have various ministries, right? And they have co-pastors and things of that nature that are set up to address that. But there's nothing like if the pastor who's supposed to be your spiritual counselor and so forth, there's nothing like being able to have access to them and what have you. And the larger your congregation is, the more difficult, I'll say it like that, it becomes for you to give that personal, individualized attention. So I appreciate what you said.
When it's personal, you're supposed to be able to have a personal and up close relationship with your pastor of the church you belong to, far as I understand.
No. That's the expectation. And I think that's a reasonable expectation. So
yeah, and when their congregation is so large.
Right.
There's no way that I don't think they can do it.
Let me just say that I'm not here to judge a mega church or a large congregation. That's not my intention.
Neither am I. I'm just saying. it's virtually almost impossible for them to know each and every one individual.
Absolutely. And their individual circumstances and issues within their lives and their families. That is so true. But now I've heard people say, St. Louis, the preacher go get a job. Shouldn't nobody have to take care of them? We'll talk about that. I know I have two sides to that story. You probably agree with that, huh, St. Louis? The preacher go get a job.
Them peaches, some of them people take on that position just to pay for a car note or drive a big car.
Well, I imagine that could be individuals.
They have a past appreciation day. Mm-hmm. That money comes in, they keep.
Mm-hmm.
They have something, an anniversary. That money come in, they keep.
That's right. That's right. It's a free will offering. That's correct. Yes, a love offering for the man of God.
They got all kind of names for it.
sanitizer. Now, wait a minute. Now, I know you don't get down like that, and that ain't your thing, but it's a way of... Now, there are people, St. Louis, there are pastors who really serve, and they stretch themselves thin. You know, the Bible tells us that a workman is worthy of his hire. You understand? So, but yeah, what we're really talking about is as we move in this new, further into the next decade, it seems as if there's a winding away from the traditional teachings and functions and practices of churches, particularly for African Americans. And I read that it's not just African Americans, but it's other white churches as well are facing some of the same challenges. So,
people are human beings. I keep telling folks that people think that white folks go through white people. There's white people that go through just as much or worse things than blacks go through.
Absolutely, sure.
If you don't, just name me something that you think is peculiar to blacks, and I'll tell you, show you where whites experience it too. Whites get shot by police officers also.
Okay.
You just don't see it because the news have an agenda. Shoot women, white women running, shooting in the back. So it's the same thing, but they have politicized this thing with black folks. And I would agree. Actually, I would agree that it's more common in some black situations. It depends on you. Because one thing, you got some young black males that just don't want to comply. They don't want nobody telling them nothing. Now, people can say, oh, well, that ain't. But it is true.
Okay.
It is true. You see it in the schools. You see it at the house. And it works its way out in the public. Mm. And I ain't saying I'm not saying that people want it to be that way, but it is that way.
Well, we were earlier talking, St. Louis, 12 and I, about this model of these black men. I hate to use it, but for lack of a better way of saying African-American men, I believe it was in Louisiana, I want to say one of the parishes in Louisiana, where these young black boys got into fights and were being suspended. Well, the dads came in, and they took over the hallways of the school, and it reversed all of that. And
now I've seen that.
Yeah, they're up to about 40-some, 45 dads that rotate and walk the halls of the school every day. And it stopped.
That's where the responsibility lie.
Sure.
The responsibility lie within the citizens. The citizens control the police department.
Okay.
That ain't for the president. That's not for the head of the United Nations. The citizens supposed to control the government, which includes the police department.
And if there are individuals that are on a police department or in a department that don't need to be there, they got to go. Simple as that.
You supposed to get rid of them.
Absolutely. And not hate the role and the function of police in society, because really, if you think about it, we all should police ourselves first. You know what I mean? To do right. And the more we do that, the less wrong there will be in our society. But,
tolerate wrong with you, you sure ain't going to tolerate it with society.
No, that's okay. But, yeah, Yeah, that's an interesting thing, man, that we were just talking about the dynamics there of even spiritual leadership now. It seems to be changing. And interestingly enough, a lot of people are questioning, my goodness, where do we go wrong with our faith when we stop going to church and we justify breaking our normal practice prior to 2020? Did we cheat God, or did we, you know, did we fall short? Were we unfaithful? You know, that's another big question that many have posed and asked.
Well, I think that people need morals.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No matter where they get it from,
mm-hmm.
There's such thing as self-prescribed morals. There's society morals. There's family traditions that bring about morals. People need morals.
Okay.
It's those morals that bring about empathy.
Okay. Well, we got another about 28 minutes on Talk Straight here. It's open mic. 657-330-9444, number to call. Facebook, if you're watching us, feel free to get in. We've been having a number of different discussions here, and we'll keep the floor open for another about 27 minutes here or so, and see if we can bring this to an end here. I'd like to encourage you to join Mr. Ben Shelton. They had a pretty interesting conversation on economics last Thursday night. I want to encourage you to tune in with him. He's been, I think he's going to be doing his show from 7:30 for about an hour, 7:30 to 8:30. And he had some young folk on there. They dropped some interesting knowledge there. So I want to encourage you. That's still a part of just another resident host that is coming in. St. Louis, we strive to have young people take a lead, man. That's what we want to do. We want to turn them loose, man. Let them lead the world. Let me say that Pastor Waller was a little under the weather last couple of weeks, so I just want y'all to keep him in your best thoughts there.
Well, tell him my prayers are with him, and I miss hearing his voice, and I hope he feels better.
I would do that. I would certainly do that. I would be talking to him tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Thursday. But, yeah, okay. He's been a little under the weather there, so but y'all keep him in your best thoughts there.
All right.
But yeah, anything else, guys? Before we.
No, I'm done.
I know you wanna leave me, but I refuse. Okay, I'm gonna let the Temptations sing that, St. Louis. You don't have to sing, but you ain't gotta sing. Let me ask you this question. And I've asked this before. Given the fact that this year is gone, what do y'all see hope for 2022? Do you all see any hope for 2022?
I think that people are going to start coming to their senses. They're going to take this country back from this ridiculous Marxist playbook that we're seeing going on. Mm-hmm. I see it now where communities, mayors, this campaign is talking about tough policing, meaning that they got away from that stupid notion about dissolving the police department.
Yeah.
Now, you do have some areas, like in Utah, that's talking about using a digital driver's license that have information on it about everything that's going to be used for your social credit score.
What?
Has information whether you've been vaccinated. Say has
what?
Information on your education and all those stuff. That's a bunch of crap right there.
Okay. Ain't nobody with that. I ain't with that.
I know that's right.
Ain't none of your business. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Ain't none of your business. Well, I guess, you know, I don't know, people.
But that's people. What you got these. And you know the funny thing about this is how all this has came on at one time. You know, we have seen it going on. You know, they got you're talking about critical race theory. You have old critical race theory that was around about 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, you got an element of Latinos' ideology. They want to take back those southwestern states.
Interesting.
They want to take back those southwestern states that was lost when Mexico lost the war between it and the United States.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, what was that, 1812, when you had the Mexican War?
No, that was in the 18... not 1812. That was the British War. Mexican-American War was in like 1830, I think it was. I'm not sure on the date. You guys in Chicago, Latinos ran black folks practically out of there.
Well, now, so it's true. It's true that they've really grown as a population. Over the last really 50 years or so, they've grown tremendously as a population. And it's you know, they had a fellow that ran for mayor, Chuy, and it's interesting that he didn't win. He didn't have enough of the Latino vote. So as much as they've grown, they still don't have that big of voting to really tip the scale.
Oh, they coming along. They got their population is bigger than blacks, and they know how to use the system. They got it's close to 65-70 million.
Well, they're the fastest growing in St. Louis. They're definitely the fastest growing in the nation. That's for sure. When you compare it to growth there, so that's what all of the data is suggesting. Anyway, let me say it like that.
Then you got the issue with the border. That needs to be taken care of. This Joe Biden is crazy as hell. They must know something on him. I like the old racist Joe Biden the better. Don't you? The one we've been knowing for 47 years, I like him better.
Leave him alone, man. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Let me ask 12. 12, what do you see? Do you see any positive things coming next year? Any hope for those things?
It's hope always for a lot of things. I see that things, I hope that things improve.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee the future, but like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I foresee that I hope and pray because I have grandkids. I'm here. You guys are here. Things get easier for people. And the norm, as they've been calling it, each and every day is different. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
So what people have been accustomed to all these many years will probably be not much more of that. This is the new norm. So now we have to adjust to the new norm.
Call me a conservative or stuck in my ways, but it's just, you know,
ways, and I still have my old-fashioned beliefs, and I'm going to hold on to that because that's a part of me.
Okay.
But then I have to generate myself, if I'm able to still work through the computer things, the cell phone situations and things like that. You know, you still have to learn how to survive. Like when the electricity go off, you sit there in the dark, ain't got a candle nor a flashlight. Can't go by a battery because you can't see nothing.
Right. Okay, I see what you're saying. So you see that there's going to be somewhat of a change in what we used to know as being normal around the country. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. You've already seen it. It's already begun.
Well, now that's interesting, 12, because I also see a pushback against that. Unfortunately, they try to put people in political parties on that. When there are some people who just want they want to be able to control the quality of their life. They don't want some group or some government or some official trying to define that for them, businesses or anybody. You know what I mean? There was a store here, a local store here. They were trying to, I think they were trying to follow the mandates, and they got put out of business. So the people of the position, excuse me, you know, if I'm going to spend my money, you're going to make me important and not what somebody else say.
Right.
So they've had a hard time coming back. You know what I mean?
I think I do, but I'm just saying, I just wish for the best for a lot of people because times are hard and times are and if you're sitting there with a big pocket full of dollars and bank accounts real wide and deep, don't mean you won't suffer. as well as anybody else.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Well, I tell you what, I'd rather have the money. You know, they're getting away from using needing women anyway because they're going to have these artificial wombs where they'll be able to grow babies.
Oh, I don't think that's...
Okay, they won't... No woman's real woman official womb because unless they kill her and take it out of her.
No, all she got to do is reproduce. All she got to do is give up her ovaries and her... fluids, and they produce everything else to grow that baby.
I don't think that ain't going nowhere, St. Louis. That make I'm not saying that there are people experimenting with it, but that ain't going nowhere.
I think that's a real woman, she probably need her tubes and her fluids and all of that.
Women selling their hair, you don't think they sell them too?
Well, no.
I'm not finna go there
people
because...
People giving away their blood, blood plasma.
I think you're reaching right now. But I won't go there. So whatever you think, hey, cool, fine with me.
I tell you what, women are selling their kids. We've heard of those stories.
We've
heard of those stories. Yes, women sell their kids.
Hold on a second. Would you agree, though, that that's more isolated than a norm? There are individuals who are doing that. Yes, there are cases of that. But would you say that that's the norm, or those are just isolated cases where individuals?
No woman in her right mind selling damn womb, coochie, or nothing else.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time, but they Madonna. Wait a minute.
Open for them about the coochie part. I'm sorry.
Madonna?
I mean, nobody took nothing off their body parts and put it in nothing or nobody else.
How do you think Madonna got those black babies?
Man, I'm
she bought them.
Okay, well, however he got them, it ain't my problem.
I'm just letting you know what I said. People say it's isolated. You think it's isolated? It's not isolated. It goes on. You got women that would have accept the husband's egg and carry the baby for money, and now you're going to have the point where babies are going to be born in these artificial wombs.
Okay.
So let me rephrase the question like this, St. Louis. Of the large percentage of the households in the United States, now I know it's a lot of things going on around the world. I'm not even really speaking of that. Would you say that there's a greater than 20, maybe 15, maybe 10% chance that people are buying children to start families? Or is that I think I understand where you're coming from. I'm certainly not suggesting that it don't happen.
And buying children is called adoptions,
And it's, unfortunately, that's another issue, too, where children in foster care, and there's a tremendous need for adoptions and homes for them and things of that nature, so they can have a normal lifestyle. I get what you're saying. I do take what you're saying, but I don't know that that's coming anytime in the next year, though. You're not saying that next year, St. Louis.
It's probably already here. You know how you have people say, "Well, whites ain't having no babies; they're gonna be extinct." Yeah, all right.
Well, then. Who knows?
The first 40 million babies that roll off the assembly line, none of them are going to be black.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they the one that's running it. Now, if blacks want to produce some ethnogenesis, is what they call the technology, if they want to produce some ethnogenesis children, then they need to go ahead and start the procedure themselves, build the facilities.
I think
they
ain't
gonna
just,
do it.
That's just as worse as gain of function studies that some folk we know were engaged in. That need to go sit down somewhere. That foolish man.
Does happen.
Okay.
I was at a job one time. I think it was Mallinckrodt Chemical. I don't remember. It was one of them. It might have been Monsanto. It was on the elevator going up, coming down. Mm-hmm. The elevator stops. Some workers there in white lab suits got on. They got to talking about what they do there. And they say they could release something out of a jar that will kill only certain people on this elevator.
Hmm.
And this is a long time ago.
Okay.
So, yes, they have those. Those things probably exist.
Ah, Okay. Well, you know what? I wouldn't even be looking for him because, and if somebody brought that foolishness to me, I think I might take my belt off and whoop him with it. I hope I don't. I mean, life is already tough enough. We don't need to make no problem. You know what I mean?
But they are going to be producing children, and they're going to alter the genes so that they don't have any hereditary issues, medical issues like multiple cirrhosis or high blood pressure.
Okay.
Or
I don't doubt that some people out there trying to do that. I don't doubt that.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I don't doubt that at all. But, hey, there you go. There you go. There you go. All right. Well, guys.
To make them space, to make the space travel trips that they talking about requires to put people into animated sleep. They may sleep for 2 or 3 or 4 years, then wake up when they, you know, get there. And some of them might have died.
Yeah, there you go.
Guys, have a blessed night. Sorry to interrupt, okay. But I got it.
We appreciate you. We're about to wrap it up anyway. Thank you, 12, for joining tonight.
All right. Good night.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I tell you, man, it's probably, I know that folk are experimenting with a whole lot of stuff and their imaginations are taking them off all kind of places. But man, I tell you. Some basic things need to be focused on if you ask me. But there you go. Well, give me a final word, big brother. Then we're going to wrap it up for tonight.
That's about it. Rise.
Okay. Rise, Peter Slay.
Yeah, rise, Peter Slay.
All right. Well, we appreciate it.
Take care of yourself. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Right, bye-bye.
Have a good one. All right. So we're grateful for everyone that's joined us in, on this episode of Talk Straight. We're going to go ahead and call it quits. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Dockery. Again, I'd like to encourage you to visit Mr. Ben Shelton on this Thursday night, about 7:30 p.m. He will be on the air for Talk Straight. And we'll be posting his announcement on the BFC Institute page on Facebook if you're following us there, just so that you can see it and tune in with him. I think you'll find it to be very useful. We're going to look forward to seeing you next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight, and we thank you again for joining us. This little brother right here sang this song, a little bitty something, a little munchkin a few years ago. I think his name is Miles Kenton, and he is singing Sam Cooke's A Change Is Going to Come. Let's see what he says as we prepare to leave, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys on next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Show. Come on, son. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Say it, son. In a little tin, right? Alone. But what's going to happen?
Two things are true about